When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Is back together. Happy New Year here for myself, Annie. Glad to be back with you. A wonderful, wonderful break. And we will talk a little bit later in the 2 o'clock hour about what our Christmas holiday breaks entailed here. But everybody is back to work now. Ryan, good holiday break. Haven't asked you a thing until now. Hopefully it wasn't a disaster.
Yeah, it's been.
Don't do that.
It's been great. It's been great.
Yeah, knock that off. Good, right?
Yeah, you too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot to discuss, but very good. Brad, you were in a couple days. Brian, you were in a couple days as well?
Yeah.
Yep, I think I was in basically New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And then randomly just Why? Doing my own shows. Well,
I mean, for the people.
New Year's Eve, if you want to go back and get the podcast.
Yeah, it was the best of Ryan Wiggins.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was the funniest stuff of the year.
I just want everyone to know that I produced that show.
Thank you very much for doing that.
What was the best that the show did this year? Let's get to the Ryan Wiggins stuff.
We tried to find what the funniest full segments were. So there's, you know, there's times throughout the year that we do something that's really funny, but it's not the whole segment.
Sure.
So we had to go find what's the best full segments that we did.
There were some, I listened to a little bit of that and there were some conversations. I just completely forget that we have these conversations.
Oh, yeah.
So I get to listen to them for the first time, but I'm like, I am part of this conversation.
You were, and you were in a lot of it. I think you were in...
You were in a lot of
all of it.
The funniest moments.
I don't think we chose any segments from when you were not here.
No monologues on government shutdowns and the best of?
Well, it wasn't funny.
I thought it was hilarious.
So,
but you have a news break, or a break from the news, I should say, for pretty much 2 weeks. I'm just going to put it at about 2 weeks. My last day here was on December 23rd. We got Christmas Eve off. I also, we're not going to get into too much of that right now because I know we want to get to the news of the day. Got a lot of compliments from folks on the Christmas Eve special that we put together. There's a lot of hard work that has gone into that over the years, but we've accumulated something that is so unique and special. So hopefully you're able to listen to that and enjoy a little bit of something personal to the show, but also wrap your arms around everybody in your family during the holiday season. That's what it's all about. And spend some time reflecting on the holiday. Big news stories happening in like the last few days.
Yeah.
Over the course of the Christmas break, I kept thinking, you know, I'm just waiting for the alerts to go off on my phone and nothing major. The question is the Fox News alert or whatever alert I have on at the time, it pops off and I look at it and I'm like, do I need to read this story? At least 9 out of 10 times the answer is I don't need to read it. I'm on vacation. I'm hanging out with my family or friends. We're at Christmas. I don't need to know that. These last few days, though, it was like the news cycle was like, all right, everyone's going back to work. Let's catch up. And you know, if you slow time down, according to the movies that I've watched, when time has to catch up, it goes super rapidly fast there for a second. And I feel like that's been the last few days.
Yeah, just for a second. Between Christmas and New Year's, I would say the biggest story was the fraud, mainly in Minnesota, but
yes,
it started to come out in other states, too. And
we've got a lot of exciting guests that are getting booked right now on the particular Minnesota fraud issue. I've been chomping at the bit to talk about that.
Good.
And then a billion things happened.
I know.
To trump the Minnesota fraud thing. But I think we're going to be okay with it because we're already starting to see some repercussions from that fraud story. Did you guys talk about it at all on the break? Or when
well,
I was gone?
Yeah, we talked about it here and there.
Wrecker and I talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
You were able to cover it a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Because the fraud case has, I think we discussed, you know, the Somali, when did the Nick Shirley reporter story break?
Was that before Christmas?
I feel like we were able to talk about it a little bit because it turned up in Ohio. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few other states where they were able to identify where this similar type of a situation bubbled up to the surface, which is government subsidized businesses that barely have a street address.
Yeah, it's just they're just fake.
I had a family member begging me to create a quality Leering Center t-shirt.
I was going to create a quality Leering Center and start getting some checks.
Brian was going to retire.
Don't do that, because if you do, and it's as lucrative as it is in Minnesota, you'll have to leave us.
Well, it's in Illinois, though.
I think so you're safe.
I think I'm safe.
That's my question. I said that to Nick Shirley, made a tweet today. Is that what you do? Made a tweet? That's what old people say.
He tweeted.
Actually, he posted.
Posted.
That's just not specific enough. You know, when you say you tweet something, it's on Twitter. When you say you post something, because that's you really post an X post. I need more specific.
It's not just tweeting. It's like twarting.
Yep. That's what we should call from now on. He twarted. Twarksted. Hi, guys. We're back. We're not good at this yet. You're going to give us till at least Wednesday to be professional.
Grace.
And then we'll probably crash and burn before Friday. So Thursday should be great. Yeah. Stick around.
Tune in Thursday.
Nick Shirley, who is the reporter who went into these, who went with the person who had been researching this, and like, boy, there's millions and millions and millions of dollars of fraud happening. They go to all these daycares. There are no kids. There are no people. Nick Shirley twerksted today. It's going to be hard to clip for a promo. I ended Tim Walz.
Major breaking political news out of St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tim Walz will not seek re-election as governor, and what a fall from grace this has been.
I'm going to interrupt you there, Bill. A fall from grace? Mr. Jazz Hands?
Yeah.
I mean, wherever grace, whatever level grace is on, this has got to be a relative measurement for Governor Tim Walz.
For him. You might recall, in the spring of 2023, he pushed through several progressive ideas to the state legislature that caught the attention of Barack Obama, who went to Twitter to give his endorsement for the programs, which eventually caught the attention of people like Kamala Harris, who chose him to be her running mate as the vice president. Introduced in Chicago at the convention in August of last year, a debate that was an absolute disaster with J.D. Vance at one point called himself a knucklehead.
It's a fall from grace.
Gosh.
Tim Walz has not resigned. So let's not get this mixed up. Tim Walz is still the governor of Minnesota and intends to be until his term is up. But he is not running for his very monarchy king-like third term like Governor J.B. Pritzker is, but let's not talk about that. He's pulling himself out of the race. Now, he's saying, Tim Walz is saying, he's supposed to have a press conference that will probably be during our show. I don't even know if I would bump Wiggins America for that, but we can make
it. I sure appreciate that.
You're welcome. You outrank Tim Walz in my book,
Thank
Ryan
you.
Wiggins. It's because your jazz hands are better.
They are. Yeah, and jazz feet. I do the whole thing. Every Wiggins America, if you're not tuned in, that's what I'm doing.
That's what's happening. Nick Shirley said I ended Tim Walz. So this huge story that really bubbled up and blew up over the holiday break on our first day back, and a lot of you folks first day back to work, when you get back, that story has already had huge implications on the political landscape.
Yeah, it has. And he announced it, I guess he announced it pre the press conference because we're still waiting on that. But it just cracked me up. I mean, of all the things, this isn't necessarily the most important thing, but he said he decided to step out of the race, quote unquote, to let others worry about the election while I focus on the work.
I think Babylon Bee went out and put something out that said Governor Tim Walz resigns so he can spend more time in jail.
Well, You're going to not worry about the election so you can focus on the work while you just went through an entire election cycle trying to become the vice president? It's just so disingenuous.
Yeah. I think we're in a position where we are quickly going to see how deep and wide this fraud goes. But the problem is that this administration has to do the unthinkable, which is now manage Venezuela in the midst of trying to find the fraud that is existing in Minnesota and everywhere else. Minnesota is not the only place engaging in this kind of behavior.
Right.
I have to think that you can't be that lucratively successful at fraud like that to get away with it at such a huge, huge scale. Other people in the know are taking note and they're replicating it as fast as they possibly can. So what was it? Was it Friday night, Saturday morning? Was the Maduro arrest in Venezuela?
Yep.
And I, again, news alerts pop up and I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'd rather play Fortnite or watch. We watched the whole Harry Potter series over.
That's a commitment.
That was great. And I'm like, excuse me, what? So then I'm like, okay, let's. So I stayed up that night, I don't know, till 4:30 in the morning watching the news unfold. And I'm going to be honest, I'm just not smart enough to understand the implications of going into a foreign country in the dead of night and snatching somebody out of their bed and taking them back to the United States. That's a huge, huge thing. Now, I always remind my children this as well, but like the things that you are the most ignorant to, that you know the least about, your fear exists in the unknown. I have a lot of unknown regarding this whole situation, especially at the moment. We know a little bit more now. But Nicolas Maduro, the illegal president of Venezuela, has been arraigned today inside of a courtroom, his wife as well. I believe that they have, I think there is more of a procedural type of a thing today. It's not really like, there's no guilty verdict coming out today. They're setting the terms of how this trial will look. I heard on Outnumbered earlier today that in order for Maduro to hire his own lawyer and pay them, it has to be approved by the Secretary of the Treasury.
No kidding.
Because you can't have a lawyer taking money from a foreign government without it being approved by the U.S. government. So I don't know what Scott Bessent's going to be doing in that regard, but there are a lot of layers to this. And because I don't have the expert knowledge on this, we are going to talk to Jim Talent about it at 105. I'm incredibly excited to discuss with him his thoughts on it. He seems to be a measured guy. The number one question that I have for him, it's not about the legality of America going in and doing what they're doing. We're going to talk to Greg Jarrett about that tomorrow. It's about, why did we do this? If there are a whole bunch of different layers to discuss regarding the activity that took place, and the legality is part of it. But the question is, why did we do it? Because the left has really globbed on to the it's the oil. Is the impetus for the process that they engaged in just for oil, and the fact that we got a narco-terrorist out of the system, the biggest cat that we got the narco-terrorist out of there, is that just an added benefit? Is it the reversal? Maybe it has to do with China meeting with Venezuela and Maduro that day, and China and Iran doing business in the Western Hemisphere to destabilize our area. And I mean, I encourage you to do this. Do you know where Venezuela is? Because I have an idea that you have an idea where Venezuela is. Look on a map where Venezuela is. It is really close to Florida. It's not, Venezuela is not, you know, at the tip of Chile, far, far, far away from where the United States exists. Venezuela is very close to the Gulf of America. So we do have interest in protecting our own. This is of great national importance that we know that we don't have a strong enemy existing there, where China has infiltrated Venezuela and really turned on its head the oil production that goes. I think I read that 70% of the oil production in Venezuela goes to China.
Mm-hmm. I read the same.
You want to talk about reconfiguring the entire landscape of China's relation to this hemisphere and their ability to negotiate and to, you know, think about the Ukraine-Russia war. When Eastern Europe, specifically, was it Germany, agreed to provide them oil or get natural gas, other people stopped it and they're like, we'll do it. Good grief. You've empowered an enemy that you're now telling the United States you want to fund the opposite side of the war in support of Ukraine. I mean, all of this stuff is so twisted, economically twisted, and it's all for power, and it's all above my pay grade, but not above former United States Senator Jim Talent's pay grade. So we'll talk to him at 105. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Schmelz is going to be with us, and we're going to get the latest on what's going on Capitol Hill. And I don't know. Let's see. Is today MTG's last day? I think it is.
The 5th. Yeah, I guess so.
And then also Ryan will tell us a little bit later in the show what he's doing to commemorate, to pay respects to the tragedy of January 6th, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a big day on the show.
It is.
A lot of produced material.
Are you going to insurrect the show?
The show.
You should. The whole day.
Well,
try
we're
to disrupt.
We got some plants in too, though. You won't know who's who.
I know you can't turn Ethan.
You'll see.
Oh, really? All right. Ryan Schmelz with us next. Too much TV.
And she don't care. I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If it were about drugs, we'd bomb Mexico or China or Colombia, and the president would not have pardoned Juan Orlando Hernandez. This is about oil and regime change. If it were about drugs, we'd bomb Mexico or China.
So Thomas Massie there, Republican, of course, talking about the Venezuela Maduro arrest and making it clear that he thinks that this he doesn't agree with it. And if you had Thomas Massie disagreeing with something that the Republican president was going to do on your bingo card, you got to check that off almost on day one in 2026. Let's get our guest, our friend Ryan Schmelz, on here with us. Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent Ryan Schmelz, Fox on X. Ryan, welcome back. Happy New Year to you. I hope you had a wonderful break. I hope you had a break. It's good to have you back.
Happy New Year, Annie. How are you?
Doing okay. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that normally we would have here in this conversation regarding budgeting, because we know that's going to be a huge issue here in this very moment. But also, there are Democrats who are supporting President Trump and his move to go get Maduro, arrest him, and bring him to the United States. And there are Republicans who don't. What kind of political fallout is happening on Capitol Hill based on what took place this weekend?
Yeah, I would say the way that you look at it is that it's a political fallout that includes what you'd expect it to be. Mostly Republicans are backing President Trump. Mostly Democrats are opposing what President Trump did. But then you also have some stragglers on each side of the aisle who have different opinions that are kind of aligned with the opposite of what their party thinks. So you've got the Republicans like Thomas Massie. You've got the Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, by the way, today is her last day in Congress. And then you've also got some others like Rand Paul, who are criticizing the move. But you've got some Democrats like John Fetterman and some others who have been a little bit more open-minded about removing Maduro and supporting the removal of Nicolas Maduro. And if you want to add an Illinois tie in there, you've got Adam Kinzinger. Yeah. From Illinois, a former Republican member of Congress, fierce Trump critic who voted to impeach President Trump. He has praised the move. So there certainly is a little bit of a mixed bag here and there about the reaction to this.
The pride of the land of Lincoln, Adam Kinzinger. I just lost half my audience. Just kidding. Ryan, I wanted to ask you about this Senator Mark Kelly situation. Of course, he was, what was the phrase for the six? Seditious six?
Seditious six.
Seditious six. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has moved to censure Senator Mark Kelly. So he's taking this video that Mark Kelly, Senator Kelly, put out very seriously. Can you talk to us a little bit about that development and what that would mean for the senator?
Right. So my understanding is that there would be things like Mark Kelly's pension that would be targeted, where he could have that revoked. There's a couple other aspects of this alleged censure coming from Pete Hegseth that would be involved in this, too. I haven't really been able to read through the extent of what the punishment ultimately would be. But Kelly has responded to it, said that this is a tactic of intimidation by the White House and specifically the Pentagon. And this has been the back and forth you've seen from these two sides really ever since that video was released by Senator Kelly, Senator Slotkin, and a couple other members of Congress who had some type of ties to either the military or the intelligence community who are also Democrats. Now, the one thing I've been telling people that's very interesting about this that stands out to me is one of the big issues Democrats have had this Congress ever since President Trump got back into office is really just getting attention because, you know, they're competing with President Trump for news time. Then they're in the minority. So Republicans drive legislation in Congress. They eat up a lot of the news time, too. So a lot of the attention's kind of put on those three different parties right there. So Democrats are having issues in terms of standing out, especially if you're not going to go out and say things that are outright controversial and news grabbing. So moderate Democrats like Slotkin and Kelly, some of the other Democrats that were in that video, are kind of struggling to get their messages out there and to stand out. Well, this video kind of took the attention off of the progressives like AOC, Jasmine Crockett, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and it put the attention on Mark Kelly and Alyssa Slotkin and some others. So now they're kind of the face of the opposition to President Trump and the Pentagon right now, which, you know, if you're a moderate Democrat, some might like that. So there may have been some type of silver lining. Now, we could debate all day whether or not the video was the right thing to do or not, but that is one thing that kind of has stood out about this in terms of the politics.
And it's very interesting. We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Let's get to the business of Congress. There is a Fox News headline right now from Elizabeth Elkin and Alex Miller. Congress rolls out $174 billion spending bill as January 30th. Shutdown fears grow. First day back after the holiday season, and we are fearing the shutdown. Can you tell us a little bit about this spending bill?
All right. So this is what they call a minibus. It is three of the 12. I almost held up two there. That would have been funny. There are three of the 12 appropriations bills. This one funds like the Department of Commerce. It's not really a lot of the divisive aspects of the government, but it is three of the 12. So if they're able to pass this, then that would pretty much alleviate some of the impacts of a government shutdown when we get to the end of January. The goal is to get 12 of them done. Three have already been signed into law. That was a part of the most recent government shutdown. The package that reopened the government included those three appropriations bills. So SNAP benefits got funded, the Department of Veterans Affairs got funded, and they'll be funded all the way through the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of September. This next one looks like it's on track for passage. Speaker Johnson has already given it the green light, said it's going to go onto the floor. The top Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee has given it the green light and her support. So if you have those parties involved saying yes to this, it looks like it's on track for passage. So that would mean six appropriations bills are now done. They would have six more to go.
Ryan, you just mentioned how Democrats are having trouble getting attention in this news cycle, but that was one way that they got a lot of attention, was by holding up the government. However, they may have lost that battle too. So is that something that they're looking at, you know, strategically? Hey, maybe we can get some demands here. Maybe we can get some more attention if we hold up government spending or hold up the budget.
I mean, we'll see. It doesn't look like it's going to be the case with this one, but this exactly isn't. I mean, this really isn't too much of a partisan bill. I think the ones you got to watch for is obviously the defense appropriations bills. But when they talk about things like HUD, funding the Department of Transportation, funding some of the agencies that are included with health care, that's when you're probably going to get into some of the more partisan issues, especially when you talk about HHS and what goes into that and some of the policies involved with RFK and some of the other cabinet officials related to the Health and Human Services Department. That's when things could get a little testy. But it looks like this one is getting through without any issues. And like we said before, the more appropriations bills they pass, the less of an impact the next government shutdown could be if they have that. So far, it doesn't look like that's the case. But of course, the closer we get to January 30th, you can expect maybe something else to come up.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. You mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've got a comment here from listener. Says, question for Mr. Schmelz, who will replace Representative Greene? Can you talk to us about the process to replace her and the timeline on that? And also, where is the balance of power as it sits once she's gone after today?
Right. So the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, is going to call a special election. The idea is he's probably going to do it as soon as possible because he wants to have it as quickly as possible. I don't know the specifics on how many months they would have to wait to have that special election, but it would not be immediate. So I would expect Republicans to go without filling her seat throughout the month of January, throughout the month of February, possibly. So this is going to be dragged out for a little bit. And that's just the reality of special elections. You know, when you replace a senator, the governor can simply appoint somebody to fill that seat until they have a special election, or they can stay there for the rest of the term. That's not the case when you talk about members of Congress. So this seat pretty much remains vacant until somebody can win it through a special election. It's a safe red seat, so it's likely to be a Republican. And of course, President Trump's endorsement will probably matter a lot, too, with whoever that replacement is.
Ryan, I saw immediately after they got Maduro that people were already commenting, oh, here we go. I'm sure a part of this spending bill will be funding for Venezuela. Is that being tossed around at all on Capitol Hill?
No, I haven't seen anything like that. You know, the most of the cost that we've seen associated with Venezuela is going to be related to the oil infrastructure. And President Trump has said that that is going to be paid for by oil companies privately, and they're going to handle all of that, is what it looks like. So if there's any, you know, rebuilding for Venezuela, it's going to be involved here. It doesn't look like there are any plans to do that. You know, keep in mind, the Trump administration allowed for the vice president to be sworn in and take power. And it didn't seem like President Trump was going to be advocating for the opposition leader who won the Nobel Peace Prize to be the replacement. And it looks like right now the Trump administration's working directly with Venezuela's new president, who was handpicked by Maduro. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about Syria being closer to peace and stability than it's ever been before. And that country is being led by somebody who was once associated with Al Qaeda. So, you know, is the Trump administration able to make this work? You know, maybe they can. It seems like that's the path they're going with, though it seems like they are demanding cooperation from Venezuela's new president.
Ryan Schmelz, excuse me, speaking with us right now. Last question before we let you go here. Just give us a little bit of a rundown of key important dates. That January 30th is the deadline for the spending bill to get done before we're looking at another shutdown, as I understand it. Are there any other key dates that you think that voters, taxpayers should be looking to right now as to what's to come?
I mean, this is a key day right now because Marjorie Taylor Greene is officially resigning from Congress, thus making the GOP House majority, which is already very slim, even slimmer. I believe they can only afford to lose really one vote on any given key piece of legislation. So this is going to be a major headache trying to get anything done along party lines for House Speaker Mike Johnson. In the meantime, that's one date to watch out for. I mean, one of the key dates has already passed, which was the New Year date, because that's when the Affordable Care Act tax credits expired. And so now they are expired without a deal on the table. So we'll see how that kind of plays out for you know, the primaries that are coming up and ultimately the midterms that are happening in November.
Well, we will stay abreast of all of those developments, and we're always grateful when you are joining us to keep us rooted in the facts of the matter, especially with how quickly things move on Capitol Hill. Ryan Schmelz, you're always wonderful to have on the show. Thanks for being with us again. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Annie. Happy New Year.
We'll talk to you again soon. Ryan Schmelz, Fox on X. And I was going to say that word again. It just almost sounds like, how did we say that before? Posting on X?
Twarting.
Twark. Oh, okay. I almost said something else. And I'm really glad I held back on that. We're going to work on that. We're going to refine that one for you so that I don't get in trouble with Mr. Brendan Carr.
Look, it's
the
a
FCC.
Work in progress. You can do whatever you want right now.
I don't.
This is happening live.
For once. Let's take a break. Wiggins America, the Monday Roundup coming up in about 10, 12 minutes from now. And we've got Jim Talent with us at 105. I'm going to talk to him, of course, about the Maduro arrest out of Venezuela. But I'm also going to ask him about those protests taking place in Iran. An underreported on story, again, because the news has been so wild. But the Iranian people are kind of like, we've had enough. That's a huge development as well. Is it as big as we want it to be? I don't know. Jim Talent, he knows. He knows everything. That's a commitment I have to you, that the man who knows everything will tell you everything at 105. Plus, Joseph Severino. Joe Severino is a Republican candidate for governor of Illinois. He's going to be with us at 1:30. You're going to start hearing from a lot of people trying to take Illinois and give it the credence of common sense. And we're going to talk to those people so you can get to know them here on The Annie Fry Show. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bruno Mars truly is a mood.
Yeah, there's times that Bruno Mars... I don't like Bruno Mars outside of The Weeknd.
I don't think he likes you either.
Does he know me? Does he know of me and my work?
Everybody knows you.
All right, well, I'm just glad to be on his radar. Hopefully he only likes me on the weekend, too.
Yeah, I heard that story. So we've got Senator Jim Talent coming up at 1:05. Excited to talk to him about the Maduro situation. You just mentioned the poll question. Do you agree with President Trump's actions to arrest Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro? Ryan, you were predicting that 80%
would say yes.
80% of our audience is a yes on this. Brad, you're saying 60%. If y'all want to text us, first, we in order to have your vote counted in the poll results, which are 100% the scientific, you need to go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote there and participate in the science, the political science. It doesn't sound as good as the science.
No, I don't like political in front of that at all.
You do love polls. Everybody knows how much you love the poll. You can text us at 314-241-9797. That's 314-241-9797.
P-O-L-L. Not P-O-L-E.
I don't know.
One makes you a little more money, tell you that.
Getting us back to the Bruno Mars subject. Your initial reaction, Ryan, when you saw, oh, hey, we took President Maduro, illegitimate President Maduro. Your initial emotional, not thought out gut reaction.
Thrilled.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I think this is going to be a huge, huge development in world history for a lot of the reasons that we know and some that we don't. I do believe that they took him. Look. A lot of these leaders that they want to take out, they just take out. Osama bin Laden, Soleimani, they don't capture them.
That's a different situation. I mean, even though Maduro is an illegitimate president, he stole...
multiple elections.
Yes. Even though that is the case, he was still serving as the de facto leader of a country. Osama bin Laden was hiding out in Pakistan. I mean, he was a terrorist organizer. Isn't that what Soleimani was? Wasn't he the head of...
Yeah, he was a terrorist.
But these aren't like... Even if you don't legitimize Maduro as the president of Venezuela, there are countries that do. And they didn't have somebody else in Venezuela presidenting in the process. So I do think that's a little bit different than going in and talking or, you know, finding bin Laden and shooting him while he threw his wife in front of himself like a freaking coward.
Right.
So I felt like this was maybe just, I don't know if it's a higher level, but it just is a little bit different. And then to take him and to find out he's going to be brought back to the United States to be tried. I mean, his let's see. I Bill Barr put out an order for his arrest in 2020, I think it was. And I think Joe Biden put out a $50 million reward, correct?
It was 25 or 50.
No, it was 50.
It was a lot.
But that was under Joe Biden.
Okay.
Is my understanding. So you have 2020 being Trump and then Joe Biden adding a reward. I mean, there is a bipartisan agreement that this dude needs to go. Because in the press conference that Trump gave from Mar-a-Lago on Saturday, somebody mentioned the $50 million reward, and Trump's like, oh, don't say anything. Yeah. Do we get that? Yeah.
he gets it.
You know, you put it into the ballroom, at a wing. It's just different. I'm trying to think of a time in my life, maybe this is a question that I'll ask Mr. Talent, Senator Talent, but like, have we done this before in our lifetime?
Well, they have compared it to Noriega, but I don't know that much about that.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah,
what is that?
That's a talent question because they just say, well, this is a lot like Manuel Noriega. Okay, that was during what, Reagan or Bush won?
It was Reagan.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, so there is some comparison there. But my whole point in bringing up the fact that they took him alive is that I don't think it's just to have him stand trial. I think they're going to try to get him cut a plea deal and squeal. And here's the thing, and I'm citing this from the President of the United States. All weekend and long before this is why I was thrilled to see it, he has been tweeting out and truthing out, twerping out or whatever we're calling it.
Twerksting. Yeah.
He's been tweeting out a lot about Venezuela's ties to
election
stealing.
This is a fork in the road for people, though. Because Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell were charged and found guilty of defamation of Dominion voting systems and Smartmatic. I've read a lot about this weekend, but Smartmatic was only used in one county. I think it was LA County in California. It's the only place where those devices were used. But the voting system that was created with the Dominion voting system has a lot of ties to Venezuela. And I said this to you guys off air before we left, that I think the Venezuela thing is going to turn into some sort of connection with the election being stolen. But that was when we were just talking about bombing narco boats.
Right.
That was way pre, like, we have Maduro.
Right.
Oh, that escalated quickly, did it not? And so I've been reading a lot about this. Ryan, you have famously gotten us kicked off YouTube many times talking about your
and
thoughts.
And we'll continue to.
No.
You just get a little label.
No.
Now. Oh, yeah? Things have changed?
Well, I don't think anybody knows right now what to believe. But I do know that all of the conspiracy theories of 5 years ago are, not all of them, but most of them are facts now. So, I mean, I am open to information. And Ryan, sometimes I think you dive headfirst into conspiracies because you want them to be true. They excite you. And there's enough information out there to give somebody like you, who is credibly following the story with the question marks that surround the election, there's enough information out there for people like you to go, I want to know more. And you're willing to just go in and find more. I am not going to be duped. And I'm like open to anything. Give me facts. Give me information. The thing that always made me lean in more and go, is there really something to this? Is the fact that we weren't allowed to talk about it. So I've read a lot about different things, like off air in my private life, but I'm not comfortable taking them to the air right now and being like, this is what's happening. I'm not predicting anything. I'm not on the inside of America's voting system. Like Maduro is, just kidding. But you've studied this a lot more. You've been much more willing. This is the way I look at it. I have to put guardrails around what gets in my brain and what doesn't, so that I know what is truth and proven, very, very segregated from what is alleged and potentially conspiratorial, but also potentially true.
Yeah, you got to really walk that fine line in broadcast media.
Yes.
Because it's not just, oh, yeah, we're just going to do this podcast and speculate. We're reporting on this. We're opinions, of course, but we're reporting on it.
But me being super speculative and sensational doesn't serve you as a listener well. It does help a little bit if I'm super rigid about it and Ryan's a dabbler.
Oh, I dabble.
And more Bruno Mars. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Wiggins. Oh!
Monday Roundup. Yeehaw! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
All right.
Big Thunder Mountain opens in 2026, just saying.
Yeah, and it's not too far away, is it?
No.
It's first quarter?
Maybe. That's a roller coaster at Disney World, which
if
is
you're wondering.
The wildest ride in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's where that sound comes from.
If you know, you know.
All right, well, let's start with top...
Irfan's in the studio.
This would be top news if not for all the other top news going on right now. A person is in custody and an investigation is underway following an incident that caused property damage at the Ohio residence of Vice President J.D. Vance, authorities said this morning. The Vance family was not in Ohio at the time of the incident, according to the U.S. Secret Service, but it is a surprise this guy, this 26-year-old guy, was able to get all the way up to the property. It says, according to an arrest report, William DeFore, 26 years old, has been arrested in connection to the damage done at the home. In a statement of facts, DeFore is accused of being seen by a Secret Service agent and on security footage walking onto the property without permission and damaging four windows as well as a vehicle. So there you go. He was able to get all the way up to the Vance's home and start smashing some windows before he was stopped and arrested.
J.D. Vance is one of the most interesting people to watch right now because he's the heir apparent just by default. And watching him handle this moment is interesting, especially with Marco Rubio doing Marco Rubio things all over the place.
That guy is a gem.
I knew it. I've always known it.
Vance is too. I mean, he's done a great job.
Marco Rubio, I'm not a post, I'm not an anti-J.D. Vance person, whatever, we've got a lot of people on the bench, but Marco Rubio is lights out. He's nailing it everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
I got to say, the thing that I was most excited, maybe that's not most excited, but one of the things I was most excited for when I saw all the stuff about Venezuela and how we're going to be running it for a little while, is I was like, man, there is going to be some very good Marco Rubio memes about him.
Yeah. You were most excited about that.
That's why I had to correct myself.
How
I said
many
one
people
of
in their mid-20s, like Ethan, even could connect Venezuela, Marco Rubio, and memes?
And hey, the
I
memes did not
you.
Disappoint.
I salute you,
they didn't
you,
disappoint.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Look at the bright side, Ryan.
Him sitting in that chair, kind of slumped over that famous picture of him, which I think, like you said, Annie, was during the Zelensky meeting. Like,
yes.
You think that's where that originally came from?
Where everybody's like now...
And now he's decked out in Venezuelan military garb.
Marco Rubio has been traded to Venezuela.
Yeah, right.
That would still be a plus for the United States.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Although we don't want to lose him, right? We want to keep him on the team. Evangeline Lilly has brain damage and cognitive decline after falling in Hawaii. If you know who she is, you've
Lost.
Lost is the big one.
She was the Wasp, too, wasn't she?
And she was the Wasp in Ant-Man and the Wasp, among many others. Wasn't she also in Lord of the Rings or some fantasy
stuff? She did the prequel, the
Hobbit?
Yeah,
Hobbit.
She was one of the elf ladies.
Yeah, in the Hobbit.
So she apparently suffers from random fainting, and she was in Hawaii, fainted, hit her face on rocks, and now has possibly permanent brain damage.
Wow.
She shared a picture of herself, and it was pretty bad from the fall.
I bet she's still pretty.
And she is very pretty. But she said that every area of her brain right now has showed decreased function.
Oh.
And that she's going to be in some serious rehab for quite a while. So
wow.
Just sharing that news if you're a fan of hers or any of her works. Lost, I told Ethan after Stranger Things, he has to start watching
Lost. Oh, you haven't
Lost.
Seen Lost?
Mm-mm.
You got to see it.
How many seasons are there?
Enough.
Five or six.
This is back in the day when TV was all we had, Ethan. There's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Can't relate.
We had TV and we had each other and that's it.
Yeah.
We survived. Now
Did
look
you?
At you.
I'm doing fine.
Anyway.
Speaking of
what's wrong with me?
What a bold statement.
Oh, look at you. You make me sick.
Speaking of fantasy and sci-fi stuff, apparently 2026 baby names are reflecting a Scandinavian-like Tolkien-esque tone inspired by fantasy novels and movies. The buzzy names are things like
Severus.
Evander. Lyontel and Livier.
Poor kids.
Yeah. Saw a kid got named 6'7 recently.
No!
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Saw that on Twitter.
I guess if he could be named 11.
It's true.
Ambrose, Alistair, Callista.
I guess being named Elspeth. 11 was a form of child abuse, so maybe that's not the best
Alistair.
Example.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So there
Alistair
you go.
Is okay. That's an Ellie.
Yeah, a lot of these would probably be shortened. Cashin, Elspeth. These are the names
Elphaba.
That you're going to see more in 2026, apparently.
Any of you guys see the Wicked movie?
No.
Nope.
Okay, that's the coverage of that. Did
you?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't see movies out of my house. Lots of Harry Potter, though. Senator Jim Talent on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. Don't go away. Stop the run.
If you're concerned.